Today's Film Vault is brought to you by Audible.
Please visit audiblepodcast.com/TFV for your free audiobook download. The Film Vault. I am Brian Bishop. That's Anderson. We're your hosts. Thanks for joining us. Today's episode, top five good movies you never want to see again.
Ever.
It came up, I think, last week on the podcast, and turns out, for me anyway, I don't know about you, Anderson, a ton of great movies that I think are four or five star movies I never want to see again. I had a hard time whittling this list down from a list of over 25 movies I started with that I would seriously consider for my top five of never wanting to see them again.
I cannot wait to hear each and every single one of those.
Well, I will not go over each and every single one.
Save for right before the show started, guys, because Brian's favorite thing to do is save. Like, I'll just be sitting on the computer on my Gmail account, and all of a sudden I'll just see save. It's like, all right, Brian, I get it. We'll save it for air.
That's right.
We won't talk. In fact, Logan even named his little podcast Save It For Air, I think maybe as a direct result. But right before the mic heated up over here at the old Film Vault, I said, hey, Brian, seen any good movies lately? And he became adamantly angry. He's like, save. We will not talk about
that
off air.
It was not a comical save. It was a stern save.
It was a very stern save. Stoic.
Yeah. All right. So many films I considered.
I had a hard time with this one.
And coming also, up with films or whittling it down?
I almost switched out yesterday. I almost called you in a panic.
Really?
I was sweating.
How is that possible?
I was having a hard time coming up the list. And secondly, I was thinking, what are we trying to say with this? I mean, I like to I've said it 1,000 times. I like to think of this show as a service. And you talk about good movies. And if you haven't seen this one, check it out. Or this one's worth another gander if you haven't seen it in like 20 years. What are we doing? We're saying, the movie was good, but I never want to see it again.
No, that's not at all. We're saying this is a great movie. It was an effort to sit through.
I also have to deal with this before the show. Extensive research. That's good, Brian.
That
way to go.
True. I do.
He's like
that.
The fucking kid in school who's like, I did all my homework. Did you? Mrs. Johnson,
You forgot to assign us homework for the weekend.
You were that kid.
I was. No, I hated homework.
You were
I didn't
that
do
kid.
Homework. No, I had terrible grades in school.
Really?
They really did.
What?
Well, you know what? I don't know if it's interesting anyway. I had
Save
for introspective vault.
Go ahead.
I had a terrible ADHD. I didn't do my homework. I would constantly forget assignments, not bring stuff home,
what?
Not bring stuff. Oh, yeah. Really bad.
What?
Yeah.
This is
I was hyperactive. That's a code word. Back in the day, they called you were hyper, but turns out that's a warning sign for – not a warning sign, but a indicator for
a tumor?
ADHD. That's right. For a debilitating tumor.
I thought you were going to say tumors. I'm sorry.
Mouth's dry? It's a chemo.
I had a hard time understanding you. You said the mouse has died?
That's right.
The mouse died?
Mouse just died.
Come on. Talk about movies.
Movies. No, the service is this
Thomas
week.
Dolby.
What about when we die?
Hyperactive when I don't hyperactive. Okay, go ahead.
The service is, Anderson, we're giving people a heads up. These are great movies. You probably heard that they're a great movie. Maybe you've seen them.
What's the heads up? Like, make sure you don't watch this one twice.
If you're thinking about seeing it, this is a movie that we saw. We consider it good or great, yet it's an effort to sit
through.
Oh,
that's part of the criteria. You have to have seen it because I didn't see four of mine. I've never seen them.
This is great.
Kidding.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it was an effort to get through. It's a heavy film. There's a lot going on.
Heavy.
There's a devastating ending. Whatever it is, I don't want to see this movie again. I can recognize that it's great.
Are you going to spoil today? Are you spoiling? Feel like spoiling?
Well.
You in the spoiling mood?
One of them, I think everyone knows the ending.
Okay.
I'll get to it when we get to it.
Let's do this.
Let's lead off with
Fashion.
The worst named segment in all of podcasting.
What?
Flick Fashion.
I thought you were past that. You haven't said that in a long time.
It's time to reset.
But, I mean, you haven't said that it's the worst. I like the name of it.
You like Flick Fashions?
Yeah.
We confess the flicks.
You came up with it.
I did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Brian likes to take credit for things that I've done. Sometimes we'll give him this one.
I can only blame myself now.
You came up with it.
I feel terrible.
Go ahead.
We start off this show like we start off every show with 10 minutes of bullshit.
Did the mouse die?
And then Flick Fashions. We confess the flicks we've seen in the past week.
Logan, the mouse is dead.
That's right.
I saw a documentary, Brian.
You're
going to find that shocking. I don't even know where it came from because the girl had it all queued up and ready when I came home.
Wow. Was it on streaming or on
I just finished saying I don't know where it came up from, where it came from because the girl had it. It was either on demand. Either way, we watched it for free. I did not buy this movie. however, I would not have been that upset if I had. The girl's pretty good at picking things out.
No.
What if I told you that you know that movie Super?
Yes.
Yeah. With Rainn Wilson, he plays you know that movie Kick-Ass?
Yeah.
What if I told you that those movies aren't that far off from reality?
Oh, I was going to say there was a movie before called Special that my friend produced, and
starred you.
Almost a direct ripoff done by a super.
Starring you.
Almost a direct ripoff.
This one is not called Special. It was made in 2011.
Rappaport Special. You've seen it.
I want Rappaport's. I want to see Rappaport's ass in that seat right in front of me.
Okay.
What the fuck, man? You've been saying he's going to come in here for
come
years.
On, Frank, may Rappaport come in.
All right. 2011, superheroes, documentary, 90 minutes. It is about.
Oh, did I?
My God.
I may have seen
this. I'm going to do the show by myself soon. This could
no,
be
no,
awesome.
I remember thinking this looked really good. There's like people who dress up as superheroes, right? And like vigilantes who fight crime.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, I'm interested. I'm furthering your narrative.
I took some notes on this movie and I forgot
my notes. Top five good confessions never want to hear again. Go.
It's a good little documentary. Superheroes, all one word, 90 minutes long. I know it's available on Fuckflix. I think I checked, but I believe it. I watched it on demand for free.
Nice.
And it might have been like, I don't know. The point is it follows like all these different superheroes in all these different parts of the country. They're all, for the most part, I believe, American. Some of them are exceedingly nerdy and dorky, and you just feel for them. You want to give them a hug. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, your mom wasn't quite nice enough to you.
Or it's maybe too nice.
Or too nice. Yeah. And some of them are actually just like – one guy's like a
enabling,
tattoo artist. And
empowering and enabling mother.
He looks almost like something out of Slipknot when he's out there fighting crime.
Well, that's kind of cool.
But they run around and
– is he fat?
Usually the main guy that they follow, these guys from San Diego, and I think he's Asian, but you never get to see his eyes. That's his disguise. He won't let the camera see his eyes.
So savvy.
He'll see all of them, but he'll be wearing sunglasses.
Right.
It's like I don't know how I'll ever figure that guy out. But he does a lot of showing his martial arts ability, which is not that
impressive.
Not impressed. But it, definitely an interesting little movie. I feel more sorry for them for the most part. But then they all, of course, get together at Comic-Con and they kind of consider themselves like modern-day Boy Scouts.
Are they well known? Are they cult celebrities in their little community?
They're well known in their own little community. Yeah.
All right.
Like mainly online.
Yeah, of
mainly
course. Online. Really? I find that hard to believe.
Mainly online and a Comic-Con. But right. Like, they fancy themselves as like modern day Boy Scouts where like, you know, they're helping little old ladies across the street.
Sure.
But
that's super.
Mm-hmm. And then I saw a movie.
And heroic.
I saw a movie called The Beaver.
Oh.
The Beaver.
Mel Gibson's comeback, sort of.
This is a movie that I knew
like.
I wouldn't like, but I kind of had to see it because it
why
was
you know you
so
like it?
Goddamn bizarre looking. Because I'm not a big Jodie Foster directing fan.
Okay. I didn't like Little Man Tate?
Little Man Tate kind of bored the fuck out of me.
You in America.
But The Beaver was the movie came out last year starring Mel Pack of Enters Gibson.
Yeah. Well, he does some things right.
One of the greatest rants in the history of Hollywood, probably, Mel Gibson. And I'm going to be honest right here. It didn't make me hate him any more than I already did.
Are you down with my theory that anyone can make a comeback from anything? Mel Gibson will absolutely have a second, like a full-on second career.
Yeah, after Michael Vick, yeah.
Yeah, anyone can come back from anything.
I don't know about anything. Okay. Anything. I don't know if Osama bin Laden could come back.
Good
and,
point.
Like, make
killing your kids. Casey Anthony pre-death. Cannot have a comeback. Casey Anthony cannot.
She kind of already has.
No.
Black and white.
No, she'll be a pariah forever. I think murder is the only thing. Because like O.J. Simpson never really had a comeback.
Well, Mel Gibson kind of killed
pariah.
His career, especially with this movie. It's a movie about a very powerful man, family man, married to Jodie Foster, which I found very unbelievable right off the bat because she's a lesbian.
Yep. Right away. Bump me.
Allegedly. But
I mean, she's out, didn't she?
He's got a couple kids. Got a couple kids. Yeah, I don't care. Got a couple kids, and he's severely, severely depressed. I believed he's a very good actor. I believed his performance. He wants to kill himself. There's actually a kind of a clever little scene where he's trying to kill himself in the beginning, towards the beginning of the movie. And then he finds a puppet, a beaver in the trash, in the dumpster. And he puts it on and he starts living his life through that beaver. And the beaver is speaking for him. The beaver is his own entity. And that's the only way he can get through life is to be the beaver. And then he talks about himself in third person through the beaver. And he turns his life around. He works for a toy company. And the toys start selling. And everything's going good. And he even starts to rekindle his once broken relationship with Jodie Foster.
Mm.
Problem with that either with the movie is it was such a quirky premise. It was so bizarre. And the shots of it, of him talking to this fucking beaver alone were strange. But the rest of the movie felt like a glorified sitcom or like an after school special or like, you know, a movie of the week for CBS or something. It didn't have that kind of strange flavor that I would like throughout the movie.
Sure.
For such a quirky – what they were trying to do is quirky storyline, really straightforward movie though. And cliched ending a bit. But I actually was on my phone for a lot of it as in like looking at other movies and stuff
sure.
like that. I tuned out to the point where I didn't change the channel.
Right.
I didn't turn it off.
It wasn't compelling.
Not compelling. Did not keep my interest. A movie that did.
Yeah.
And I am – you know, I'm an asshole.
Get
I'm
that
a
drop.
Dick. I'm a dick. But a lot of it, you know, is shtick, and a lot of it is just I'm sick of society.
It's dick shtick.
But every now and again, I'm a dick shtick. I really feel bad, and I feel like I'm a fucking asshole. And now Stephen McCune, I believe that's his name. He's a listener of this here podcast. He hosted a website for this here podcast when we were very underground. Remember the guy from Ireland, Stephen?
Oh, Stefan. I used to call him Stefan.
Well, yeah, but you used to call him Bane. But his name is Michael Bean.
It's a good point. Sorry, Stefan and Bane.
But he spells his name with a PH, and he's a big listener, a big supporter, and he's helped us out. I consider him an internet friend. I've never met him because he lives in Ireland. Point is, he sent me a couple movies.
Yes, and he compiled lists, too, of our oral episodes.
And he sent me a movie called The Day After, Brian, which is a 1983 sci-fi post-apocalyptic movie.
Literally.
Which, much like that Thomas Dolby song, the Blinding Me with Science.
Yep.
She's cleaned up again, and I can't find anything. The girl cleans up, and I don't see my stuff for weeks, sometimes months. I was cleaning up over the break, and I found The Day After, a movie that listener Steven sent directly to me. Like, it came through Amazon.
Right.
Speaking of which, it came through Amazon.
Yeah, that's right.
And it was in my mailbox here. I've had it for months, and I never watched it. Never. I don't even know if I said thanks. What a dick.
What an asshole.
I feel horrible.
This is the best way to say thanks.
I watched the movie The Day After, and I got to say, I enjoyed it thoroughly. 1983. It's a little bit on the long side. It's 120, a little over a couple hours. Listen to this cast. All right. Jason Robards.
Yeah.
Steve Guttenberg.
Goot.
John Lithgow.
This is 83.
And
Lithgow, it's the height of his powers.
It's a drama, and it's disturbing. Especially, okay. I can only imagine what it must have been like in 1983 during the Cold War, Reagan years. And it's all about what happened. Like, an hour into the movie, the bombs are fucking dropped.
Wow.
And it's all about the fallout. And it feels like a Stephen King. I can see this movie being remade, and even though the Cold War is over, Stephen King, The Day After, a very solid, solid, dark movie. A movie I would never want to see again, I don't think, Brian, even though I own it now. Tough to watch. Really good makeup at times.
Sure.
A good movie. And it's just creepy shit. Like, you don't – like, they leave their – they're down the main family's down in the pantry. And they're, you know, the bomb goes off. And they're just trying to, like, survive down there. They leave their poor dog upstairs, and then they send Steve Guttenberg to go get some stuff. The dog is just, like, dead and rotting in the kitchen. Just a creepy movie.
Sounds heavy.
Creepy movie.
But see, one out of three movies you talked about is a good movie you never want to see again. See, this is easy.
Well, The Beaver is a bad movie I never want to see again.
But 33% of the films you've talked about so far.
I love movies. Like, so many of the movies I see, a lot of the time, like, if it's on, I watched, like, half of Titanic over the weekend.
Sure. That's not a bad movie. So I'm out of a movie you don't want to see again.
Rose. The girl says to me, she's like, am I your Rose? I'm like, of course you're my Rose. Who's Rose?
Come back.
But she pointed out a very good point at the end of Titanic. There's plenty enough room for both of them to float on that piece of wood.
Yeah.
Move over, bitch. Just move over.
Slide that tubby ass over.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Flick Fest is for me. I saw, as I mentioned last week, this is the part of the year where I start to see movies that I missed from the previous year and catching up and forming my Oscar opinions over the next month or so. Saw Midnight in Paris.
Out
in June 2011.
Yeah.
Written and directed by Woody Allen. You saw the film?
I wish you'd give me a heads up, because I would have seen it if I knew you
hadn't seen it.
Because it's so rare that we actually get to talk about a movie we've both seen.
It's a great – well, we're going to talk about it in a second.
God damn it. I wish I saw it.
You really haven't seen this yet?
No, because I don't want to pay for it.
But it's on – it just came
He's
out
pedophile.
On – just came out
He's
on,
pedophile.
But it just came out on Netflix.
Yeah, I know, but I when? I think like
literally
2 days ago,
like a week ago. Yeah, the last Tuesday.
It's like a long wait. I'm sure. I need to.
Yeah,
I need to get it. It's been on demand for like $4.99, and I refuse to give him money.
Speaking of long wait, I'll get to my Flick Fashion right now. Starring Owen Wilson, Rachel McAdams, Marion Cotillard, and actually, for me, how much do you know about this film? The plot of the film.
I know that you're better suited if you've seen every single Woody Allen movie and know them well, because there's a lot of self-referential stuff. I hear that it's his greatest movie ever. I also hear from one of our listeners that it's a movie that was good that they would like to never see again.
Yes, it is. It is cute. It's clever. It's extremely clever. The films of Woody Allen are a blind spot for me, sort of like westerns. I have not seen very many, so I do not feel
like
movies. More like movies, yeah. So I should just say shorthand. The films of Woody Allen are like movies.
the films of Woody Allen are like non-Michael Bay movies to me.
That's absolutely. You know what? Thank
That's a
you.
True statement.
Thank you for summing that up so succinctly. Yeah, exactly.
Brian, come on, you're doing much better lately.
Thank you, but I do not feel qualified to judge this on the Woody Allen oeuvre. But I will say, the less you know about this film going in, the better. There's a few surprises. The movie takes a few twists. It is, if it can be said about such a lightweight sort of film, it is daring in some ways. And I mean, in a lighthearted way. It's not, you know, a heavy film, but fun, well-written, clever, And a good cast. A lot of prize cameos and fun movie.
Woody Allen is great. And he has such a huge, giant span of work.
Oh, he's made movies before?
So many movies that he has a bit of I've seen the majority of them. Mm. And it's funny because you the more Woody Allen movies you watch, the more you like actually like him. Like the character of Woody Allen. Because
right.
He makes really dark, fucked up subject matter, really intense movies. And you don't realize it because he stars in them, but it'll go away from Woody Allen, the character, and it'll be like really dark shit that's like depressing and right. intense. And then it comes back to him and it's always like, oh, thank God, little Woody Allen's back. It's like the comic relief. Yeah. So you actually – it's like some kind of psychological thing. By the time the movie's over, you're like – you love Woody Allen.
You're like the ring girl in a boxing match.
Kind of like the ring girl a little bit. That's a stretch, but yeah.
Like a comedic ring girl.
But he makes it so you're like, oh, thank God he's back, because it's like it gets really intense. It's like, oh, good. Here
nice.
We go. I can relax.
I imagine that every – He's too old at this point to play the lead in movies like this. So I think Owen Wilson sort of is.
Yeah, he's famous Woody for Allen. Doing he's, that. He'll cast people to play him essentially.
Yes,
he's Larry David. Ego. Larry David
saw him today at lunch.
Probably. Larry David
saw him today at lunch.
Give him a high five.
No, I just walked. I put it cool, dude. Play. We gave him.
You guys have plenty of
other. We gave each other a bald nod.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's right.
I would love to see that guy. He's one of the few people in the world that I would get genuinely excited.
I've actually seen him now out. To eat once for dinner, once for lunch,
where?
Twice.
Where? Don't
once?
Say it. Don't say it. Don't
oh,
say it.
All right.
Leave him be.
Not fancy places.
Probably Jewish delis.
Not, no. Mm. Just kind of ordinary, healthy type places. You wouldn't know about them. Anyway, I also saw, also released in the same month, June of 2011, Bad Teacher.
Yeah.
Bad Teacher.
Bad choice.
It was okay. It was okay. It was kind of funny.
I can't say that because I saw The Beaver.
Okay. You didn't see Bad Teacher. Bad Teacher was... I think it got lost in the summer comedy shuffle. Not as good as Horrible Bosses. Certainly not as good as Bridesmaids. Some funny moments,
Cameron
for sure.
Diaz. Does she look like a St. Bernard, too?
No, she looked all right.
When you think about it, though, she had to be a dog. St. Bernard's not that far of a stretch, right?
She looked good for a 50-year-old woman.
I think she's pretty. Yeah, she's I dated pretty. A girl that actually ended up looking just like her.
Yeah. She's a good-looking lady.
Just shorter.
But starring her, Justin Timberlake,
she looks
Jason
like a St. Bernard.
A good cast. Lucy Punch, who is very, very funny in a supporting role. John Michael Higgins, who is a great that guy. And Thomas London from The State. There's some great people. Directed by Jake Kasdan, son of Lawrence Kasdan.
That's amazing. Hey, if they were
it
to make a play called Dogs, the people that made Cats made Dogs, and the lead was like a hot girl or a hot St. Bernard, I could see her playing it.
Okay. Yeah.
Just give me that.
Would she crawl around or would she just like walk on two legs on her Honda?
I like the crawling part.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
She was the best ever.
Ooh, Three Dog.
Three. No, Brian, come on. We're over that.
Charlie's Angels.
Charlie's Angel Pete.
Oh, my God. They have Alien vs. Predator.
The Angel Pete.
They have Alien vs. Predator. Why can't I combine the Charlie's Angels franchise and the Human Centipede franchise?
I saw Alien over the weekend. Holy shit, it holds up.
Really?
Holds
yeah,
up really
fuck
well.
It's my number one hold up movie.
Does it?
My number one.
It holds up.
Son of a bitch.
It holds up.
It is. And also a movie we've both seen. I saw it on your recommendation from 2008. Surfwise.
Mm.
Surfwise.
Finally saw it.
Doc Paskowitz.
Yes.
Yeah. Doc Paskowitz, the surfing philosopher, intellectual.
Father of 30.
Father of 9 children who he lives. They all live together. They're all like 10 years apart in age. And he forces them to live in an RV. They travel the country.
Feet, right?
And they had a few RVs. They traded up. Remember?
Well, no. But they always only had one at a time. And yeah, they trade up. They trade down. But right. I mean, they were always all packed into essentially a... half the size of a studio apartment.
Yes, and he makes them surf every day, every single day, and they're not allowed to go to school. Like they're his captives.
Well, school of life, Brian.
That's
school
exactly
of the
right.
wave.
There are
school
some
of the coast.
There's some very funny, some jarring moments, like some language you don't expect. When like I don't want to ruin any really funny moments, but there is a point where the mother bizarrely says like, "You can say what you want about my kids. They weren't the best behaved, but they always had clean assholes."
Yeah, that was kind of
it's like what?
Out of nowhere. Yeah,
what
kind of unsettling.
It was extraordinarily strange.
Like I watched that by myself the night before, and I liked it so much that Jillian and I watched it the very next day. It's one of the few movies that I saw back to back days. And I remember when that part came on, I'm like, it's kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, Christy saw this one too, and she liked it very much.
Except for the asshole. Well,
no, it was her favorite.
It's really
part
of her favorite.
She keeps repeating that actually. I don't know why.
Hey, one of the more disturbing things you've ever seen in a movie was when that guy was singing the song, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Holy
and
shit.
And he was sweating.
Yes.
And he started to sweat.
That was like he was demonic.
That was off-putting.
It was very off-putting. Well put, Brian. That was hard to watch.
I may have leaned over to Chrissy at one point. It was like in minute 3 of the song, and I was like, this is uncomfortable.
But the second time I watched it, I couldn't wait for that part.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it when things are really raw. I mean, that was just raw.
Yes, that was as unscripted documentary stuff as it gets.
I've seen that kind of thing probably numerous times, but I am always wasted drunk in a bar and I don't remember it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that kind of just intense singing right in your face.
That reminds me of the moment in the rawness of it, the moment in Official Rejection when the guy was at the fucked up film festival in Chicago and his film wasn't getting shown. It was like 2 hours later.
Empty.
He's like, the theater said, please let me talk to the organizer. Please. Yes. I think I'm owed this. Let me talk to the organizer.
He's unraveling.
But he has such a mild-mannered manner about him up to that point. And at that point, he lost. He's like, let me talk to him. That's great. Anyway, Surfwise. I would rank them depends what you want. Midnight in Paris and Surfwise, both very good. Both very different. I think Midnight in Paris will be up for a few Oscars. So see that one if you want to be up. If you want to be up on your Oscar talk. Bad Teacher. Sure. Yeah, it's all right. It's a rental. You got a couple good laughs out of it.
All right.
There you go. Flick Fest. Coming up next, top 5 good movies never want to see again.
2, 3, 4! Gray moans get me down.
Anderson.
Hey, Brad.
Audible.
What's
Audible's
that?
Back on board. They're sponsoring this episode.
Yeah,
and recommendation from me for a little Audible if you want to get into it. I just got Moneyball today on DVD, so I'll be watching that in the next week or so. And you know what? If you want to, I was looking it up. Turns out there was a book actually written called Moneyball. There's actually 2 versions of the audiobook available, one narrated by the author, Michael Lewis, clocks in at 5 hours and 48 minutes. There's also one narrated by Scott Brick, who's like a book narrating celebrity. He's done 447 books, and it clocks in at 10 hours and 30 minutes. So if you want to find out more about Moneyball, which maybe I will after I see the film, check it out, Anderson.
Yeah, I remember last week, Brian, when you said The Help was not based on an actual book. Well, you're wrong.
It is based on an actual book.
Yeah, and it's available on Audible.
It's not based on an actual, true story.
It's based on an actual true story book, yes.
Sure.
Learn all about it. You can get the book over on Audible.
Audiblepodcast.com/TFV. They have 100,000 titles and more to choose from, every genre. Check them out. Find our recommendations over there. And visit the website, audiblepodcast.com/TFV. Good sponsors. Keep us in business.
And it's really cool because it's a creative reading as well. Like, instead of just one person reading a bedtime story, like The Help has 4 separate narrators.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool stuff.
audiblepodcast.com/TFV. Hi, I'm Akihiro Kitamura. You may know me as the head from The Human Centipede, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrown.com. Yeah. Welcome back. Thank you, Gloria's Fold. Well, that's disgusting.
So many of our featured artists have sexual innuendos.
Well, why they're not signed? They have offensive names.
Maybe that's just us.
Maybe that's us.
Ben Folds made it.
Yeah. Gloria's, Gloria apostrophe S, not glorious. Gloria's Fold. The fold that belongs to Gloria. They're from Tempe, Arizona. Do you have an EP out now?
I think Gloria, I think old lady, so that's an old...
I think Laura Branigan.
What?
Gloria, Gloria. I think it's Laura Branigan. Who gives a shit? Anyhow, Tempe, Arizona, by the way. You ever been out there, Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking
so
utopia.
Lovely.
Out there.
It's God's country.
If you can survive... Okay, aside from the oppressive heat, the fucking Tempe, Phoenix, Scottsdale area, it's a goddamn utopia for, 20-year-olds. It's the breast implant capital of the states. It's gorgeous people. All they do is work out and tan. And fun bars, fun nightlife. Good sports. It's a fun place.
Are we doing it? I didn't realize. We're doing a road show.
We're going to Tempe.
We have a Tempe read this show? They're sponsoring the Film Vault?
Logan, does Glorious Fold have a website? I don't have any information on them.
They have a Facebook page, but it's really hard to find. Just search for it on Facebook and you'll find them.
There's a link
on our website.
Yeah, AndersonBrian.com. Do that. Next week, by the way, Dave Damashek.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good time. So check that one out.
What are we talk about? Oh, what are we going to talk about?
Top 5 acting performances by athletes.
Oh.
What did you, why?
We're going to talk about other. We're going to get up.
Oh, there's going to be a whole bunch
sorts
of all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Namely?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh sports.
Oh, my God. Well,
hell yeah.
Not a lot to talk about right now.
No, we're not going to talk too much about that. The rapist got beat. I like to see that. That was enjoyable.
That is true. He did.
Mm-hmm.
It's old news at this point. Mm-hmm. That said.
We're not saying who it is because that way I can't be sued.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was out there somewhere in the world a rapist who got beat.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Top 5 good movies you never want to see again. Anderson, let's
and
provide
a
service for these people.
The rapist is hurt, too.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of rapists out there that are hurt.
His hand.
Yeah.
Can't shoot the ball. See, I switched it up.
It's good.
I switched up talking about the other rapist.
It's good stuff.
Yeah. His name's Kobe. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. God damn it, the Laker fans that are switching over to the Clippers. It's fucking embarrassing.
I hate everything.
It's embarrassing.
I hate everything about
sports. I agree. Let's go.
The NBA and the Lakers and the Clippers and LA sports.
I heard this promo the other day on sports radio. Yeah, I'm a Laker fan, but bring on the Clippers. What the fuck?
What does that mean?
Like, yeah, I like the Lakers, but now I like the Clippers, too, because they have a guy that can shoot the ball good.
Yeah.
What the fuck's wrong with – okay.
Typical.
Number one, Brian, why don't you carry the show? Because this is I have nothing to give the audience.
Why? What was so hard about this for you? Do you see this long nothing. List of films I considered considered for my shit?
Not,
I considered.
Not impressed me at all. I'm not impressed by that.
Start out with a list of 25-plus films. And
you ask a lot of people
painfully.
Who don't like movies that much. Like – can you name me movies that you thought
were good,
but
way,
you would never want to see again? They're like pretty much every movie I've seen. But very few people like to watch movies on a regular basis, like continually, like over and over again.
That's funny you mention that, because Logan puts out the call for listener top fives on Twitter.
I stole one from one of our listeners.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Puts out on Twitter and Facebook. And usually I would say they get, on Facebook, I can see they usually, I usually check out the list right before I come in here. And then the submissions are somewhere in a little less than 100. And they got 120 submissions as of like an hour ago. So response.
Nothing to brag about.
No, but the response is up. People are more responsive, I would say, this time. Logan?
Absolutely.
Oh, you were going to see Say Anything.
I did see Say Anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw a picture. You tweeted a picture.
I did.
Yeah. As promised. And I was, yeah.
And it's one of my favorite movies now.
What?
I love Say Anything.
Look at
I didn't
that.
Know hipsters liked Say Anything.
Oh,
it,
yeah.
It totally it totally holds up to today's standards of comedy. A little bit cheesy at some points where there's some exaggerations. But other than that, it was a great movie.
Do you think it moves slow? Like, I mean, I can even see that how one would look at it as like, it's moving a little slow.
I think in our day of Knocked Up and the 40-Year-Old Virgin, where directors are taking the time to kind of focus on emotional parts of a storyline, I think it totally holds up with how those movies are told. Those stories are told.
It's a good little movie. That doesn't make you want to fall in love.
It does.
Out there looking for the right guy.
You were dead on with that.
Yeah.
With that analogy.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
It's a good movie.
I need to see it again. Actually, I got a little twinge of jealousy when I saw your tweet picture, and it says, as promised, and it was a nice setup you got over there, by the way, Logan.
Thanks. It's all about having the light behind the TV, so you have optimal lighting for
really?
You.
Really?
Is that true?
Yeah, you want to have a light behind the television. That way there's no glare.
Your mic should be off, though.
Right. Here it goes.
Oh, buddy. I feel bad.
Asshole.
I feel terrible now.
You want me to go first or no?
Logie, I'm sorry, buddy. I was just fucking with you. But that makes sense because there's no glare. How about just lights off? How about that?
Yeah, I always go lights down.
Then you strain your eyes.
See, I have the dimmer switch.
Fucking Grandpa Logan.
I have the light. It reflects off the wall behind.
What did I say about the mic being off? I thought I said
it. You want to go first? You go first.
All right. Yeah. I'm not feeling that good about about this list. I'll start off with the one that I stole.
So
from one of our listeners. Thank you very much, listener, whose name I did not write down, but I was on the old Facebook desperately searching.
The first good
yesterday
movie.
I only had one movie. Or okay. Two days ago. I'm like, what? How am I going to do this? This is, as far as I can tell, David Fincher's first movie I didn't care about.
What? Okay.
Zodiac. No, that's not true.
Zodiac.
It was his third movie.
Zodiac.
Second of the three that I did not. I'm talking about The Game.
What?
The Game is
you don't want to see that again?
I don't want to see it again. Because first of all, there's plenty of plot holes in it, which you realize after the movie's over. You're like, wait a minute.
That's why you should see it again.
What if you just – I don't want to sit there and poke plot holes in a fucking masterful filmmaker.
We are not on the same page.
I don't want to sit there and be like, Fincher, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that?
Okay. I would watch this movie right now.
I thought it was okay. I thought it was good. But after – once Sean Penn shows up and you get the – I'm not giving things away. But once you get the gist of what is actually going on and what's actually happening, it's kind of like – a little bit of a letdown and nothing like where I want to go back and be like, oh, that makes sense. Now it's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Kind of like Sixth Sense.
I think this is the first David Fincher movie I ever saw, actually. I think I saw Seven after this.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I saw it on video. And I like this movie a lot.
You could have called the game, you could have called it Old Man Running Away from Things. That would have been an apt name for it. Old Man running in Dark Street.
Yeah, sometimes they change the title overseas to something a little more deliberate. Maybe that's what they actually called it overseas. Old Man Running Away from Things.
That's the whole movie, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty much.
In Swedish, it's Old Man Running Away from
Things. That's another thing is I didn't want to – I shouldn't say that. But I have a lot of these – mostly every movie on my list for the most part I have not seen since it came out. And I haven't seen it again since, obviously, because
– yeah.
I felt quick confession. I've seen the game twice, but I didn't want to see, I didn't want to see it a second time.
That's what you get for stealing.
And when I saw it a second time, I'm like,
I saw it twice.
I did see it twice. I didn't want to, though.
No, but you know what? That fits. The top five fit. Movies you don't want to
you
see
don't
again.
Want to see again, yeah.
Yeah, again from this point on.
So I could say, like, a childhood movie of mine was Suburbia.
Okay.
And I probably see it 45, 50 times. I don't want to see it again. Yeah, that could have been on my list.
It wouldn't really fit the spirit of the list. This fits the spirit of the list. You saw it twice and you're fed up. You don't want to see it again.
So my number 5B is Suburbia. Don't want to see it again.
Okay. Between these teams, 47 times. I love it. Number 5 for me.
Hi, Logan. I was just kidding. Sorry.
From just last year.
Yeah, I went recent too.
Yeah, almost all of mine are very recent. From just last year, Anderson. Mm-hmm. Best Picture nominee. Winter's Bone. I cannot see that again.
How in the world was something this fucking broad and open of a topic, Brian? How in the world do we have crossover?
You got Winter's Bone?
Winter's Bone is on my list.
You're
let's get into
me.
It.
You're
let's
shitting
talk
me.
About Winter's Bone. How I'm actually kind of excited. I want to cuddle.
Are you serious?
It makes me feel happy
how
that
the
we
fuck
have this.
Do we have crossover?
I don't know. It's bizarre that you would have on such a wide open topic. This is a topic.
It's painful for me because I have fucking 28 other movies
I
right
know,
here that I could choose
but
from.
But it so fits because it was a really well done movie. It was.
Wow.
It was.
Logan, you see this?
Perfect for what it was.
Yeah, I totally agree. I loved it, but I don't want to see it again.
Don't need to deal with that again. It was soul-crushing and painful to watch, but you were there with her looking through the Ozarks.
I don't need to see her cutting off people's hands.
I don't need to
bodies.
See you spoiling things because that's it's right. a good movie. That's you should
right.
watch once.
No, you should never see it.
Here's my main problem. That
all I remember is everyone's sad or angry
hot.
Or on drugs. She was hot, but you couldn't
not
tell.
Everyone
was gray.
Not everyone, Brian. Every male. This was a –
everything was gray.
Men are horrible.
Everything. Every man was horrible. Remember, she got her ass kicked by a bunch of women. She had to find her dad. John Hawks is high on meth.
High on meth.
High on meth.
The whole story is her house is about to be foreclosed on and taken back by the courts, right? And unless she finds her dad, her deadbeat dad, her and her little brothers and sisters who are running amok are all going to be out on the street. So she needs to find her dad to try and get him to come to the bank and say, look, I'm here now. Because her mom is out of the picture.
Right.
And it is, like you said, everything's gray and blue and dark and depressing.
It's mostly gray and gray and gray.
Every male she comes across wants to rape her or beat her
or both
and then kill her.
Some
possibly.
Succeed.
And it's almost like a warning card for immigrant women who are moving to America. Like if they saw this movie, they probably would turn the boat around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. John Hawks, by the way, fucking fantastic.
Really good.
Love him.
John Hawks, you know.
Not my sporting actor. You'd know him best from Dust Till Dawn or The Perfect Storm, probably.
Or Deadwood.
Oh, he's in Deadwood?
Yeah,
never
he's
saw
one of the main characters. He was a hot guy's right-hand man.
Nice. Well,
he was
fantastic.
The only Jew in Deadwood.
He's excellent.
Yeah.
And
guess what
good
he did?
Movie. Never want to see it again.
Guess what he did in Deadwood?
Hmm.
He's a shop owner. He traded.
Traded shops?
Well, because he was the only Jewish guy in town, and he was haggling prices.
I can't fucking believe we had crossover on this list.
I love that. That makes me happy.
It does make me satisfied in a way, but also extraordinarily unsatisfied because I have
it means we're hitting the mark.
30 other films I could have talked about.
Because there's so many of our list. I mean, we can do
research.
Oh, I
wanted so bad to put Lone Star on this fucking list.
But you like Lone Star because you like to go back and beat off after you know
that's
what's going on.
Yes, that's the only reason I go back to watch it.
For those of you who have seen Lone Star know what we're talking about. That's
God
gold right
damn,
there.
I could have talked about Lone Star this whole time.
I would prefer you not. The movie's fucking long and boring and gay.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, no, that's a movie that you wouldn't want to see to begin with. I never thought it was that good to begin
really?
With.
No,
only
good,
you did with your.
It's a good movie.
You love your incest.
I could have talked about The Diving Bell and The Butterfly.
No, that's great.
I don't want to see it again.
Go back and marvel at the direction.
Absolutely not.
It's wonderful. The first third of the movie just
we could have had
POV.
Debate over all these films.
Okay. But no, The Winter's Bone, it hits the mark. Because I've tried to say it 3 or 4 times now on this episode, but you keep interrupting me.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our lists, we can go on the internet and do a little research, and there's existing lists out there. I don't know if there are for this, right? You know what I mean? One of the few times where we're not actually looking
at the list.
Yes, you
can't do independent research, really.
All right, settle down. My number four. My number five.
Crazy Heart.
My number five was David Lynch's The Game, 1990. What, did I even see that?
What? David Lynch's The Game?
I didn't. David Fincher. David Lyncher is the director that I want to create in a lab. Yeah. Can you imagine David Lyncher?
Amazing.
In 1997's The Game by David Fincher. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
That's right.
My number four, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Winter's Bone.
Fuck you.
Moving on.
What a dick.
2010, Winter's Bone, the unflinching Ozark mountain girl hacks through dangerous social terrain as she hunts down her drug-dealing father while trying to keep her family intact.
So painful. How long was the movie? This movie is probably 110 minutes. It felt like it was 310.
100 minutes.
I was off by 10 minutes.
Critic says, you must see this movie once, but only once.
So says Anderson and Brian right now.
Jennifer Lawrence. So this is the first time I'd really seen Jennifer Lawrence or noticed that I was seeing Jennifer Lawrence.
I don't even think her boobs could have saved this movie.
Is a pretty lady. However, I just saw her in something where she was unpretty. And on
X-Men?
The Beaver. She was in The Beaver.
Oh, nice.
And she looked bad.
Oh.
No, she didn't look terrible. It's just I'm used to her looking hot. And yeah. Nah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I saw her naked kind of in X-Men, but
yeah, blue boobs.
I don't count that.
I don't count blue boobs.
But there was some, you'd have to imagine. All right, nerds, I don't want you to fucking tweet me and Facebook me and say you're wrong. I guess she probably was wearing a bodysuit, but I was going to say there was some nerd somewhere in some computer in a studio spending hours just painting her boobs digitally.
I'm sure that guy was gay. Sure he was.
How do
gay.
People you watch porn, how does it get edited?
What do you mean?
Because I would think that like they'd sit down, the editor, if he is straight, would say, all right, I'm going to edit this. And then he'd be like, kind of got it.
Oh, I see.
Hard. It's going to be hard to focus.
I imagine.
Maybe if I just rub one out. Yeah. And then,
I imagine
not to be crude.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? And then.
Yes. I imagine an awful lot of porn gets edited in the refractory period.
But that, you don't do good work in the refractory period. You
hence
nap.
Porn.
You want to smoke.
Hence porn.
You want to have a sandwich.
Porn is not a great work.
It's true. It's rare that you see good edit. It's rare.
Must have been a woman and or a gay man.
Okay.
Number four for me.
I bet you were.
If we have another crossover, I'm walking out of this goddamn
studio.
No,
I'm going to fucking hug you. High five style. I'm going to jump into your arms.
How amazing would that be? Number four for me. From 2008. Also.
Uh-oh.
I'm fucking go crazy right now.
Go.
Nominated for Best Actor from that year for Richard Jenkins in The Visitor.
Yeah.
The Visitor, written and directed by Thomas McCarthy, who directed Win-Win. And wrote Up.
And he was one of the
station agent.
Main actors, main characters in season 5 of The Wire, Brian.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I cannot ever see The Visitor again. The Visitor is Visitor is sad. It's an angry movie. It's extremely angry and bitter. It's cynical. Basically, the message is the U.S. immigration policy only exists to punish the innocent and destroy families.
It's very liberal. It's very left wing. He comes home. There's African people living in his house.
He's a sad man whose life only gets sadder.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Sisyphean quality to it.
What?
To like, you know, Sisyphus.
The mouse is dead.
The guy who had to roll the boulder up the hill for eternity
yes,
and the boulder
yes. cover.
There's a Sisyphean there's a boulder rolling quality.
Your phone or whatever device you're listening to is fine. It's bright.
That's right. It's the fucking every – you saw this movie, yes?
Mm-hmm.
He goes back. Every scene is either in court or in an immigration office or in a jail or just the runaround, the red tape and the bureaucracy. It's fucking endless.
Yeah.
It's an endless series of courtroom
appearances. What would you like about it?
It's a good movie. Really felt for the characters. Uh-huh. I really did feel for the characters. It's good characters. Richard Jenkins deserved his Oscar nomination, but I cannot ever see this movie again. It's so fucking depressing.
Okay, talking about depressing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to blow through this episode.
We're number three already?
Yeah.
No, let's take a break.
What about number three?
I want to group my number
three. All right, my number three.
No!
I'm going to tease. Okay. I don't know what I'm teasing across. All right, number three when I come back.
Yeah, three when we come back. Top three for me, Anderson. Listen to this. All directed by foreigners. And all nominated for Best Director Oscars. Put that in your mind.
It's in there. I don't know what to do with it.
Coming up next. Hey, podcast listener. While you're sitting there listening to podcasts, check out AndersonandBrian.com.
Brian with the Y?
Yeah.
My favorite part of the show, Brian, other than seeing your lovely face
every
single week and working with Logan, is really interacting with the listeners. I love it. And a lot of great stuff goes on over at AndersonandBrian.com.
Yeah, leave comments on the site. Check out a list of every film mentioned in every episode, which, by the way, is quite a comprehensive list.
Yeah, we should have a ding every time we talk about a new
Absolutely
movie
not.
On the show. Yeah, I think we should.
Check it out. AndersonandBrian.com. Mm-hmm. Check it out. Yeah, welcome back. Thank you, Glorious Fold, you sick fucks. They're from Tempe, Arizona. Get their information at AndersonandBrian.com.
Get into the fold.
Next week, Damashek, Check out AndersonandBryan.com. All the information on every episode, links to future artists, submit your ideas for our top fives, etc., etc. Anderson,
number three.
Brian.
Good movie you never want to see again. Oh, remember, listeners like when we recap. So we both had Winter's Bone, and I had The Visitor on my list.
I had Winter's Bone and The Visitor.
Oh, my God. What a coincidence.
I had Winter's Bone and The Game.
Do you predict any more crossover? It's extraordinarily unlikely.
No, because what'd you say? You know, they're all foreign?
Three directed by foreign directors.
Yeah, that means, to me, that means you don't want to read them again because you don't like to read movies, right?
They're English language.
Oh, they are.
Well, actually. Are they?
Okay, my number three. I'm trying to get to it for what seems like as long as Winter's Bone now.
Oh, my God.
It's a movie that I flick fast on this show.
Interminable.
I don't remember if it was over at Ace or it was in here, but I just saw it in the last year and a half or so. A movie called Come and See, Brian.
I don't remember.
Come and See, 1985.
I don't listen to what you say.
136 minutes of misery, depression, sorrow.
Yeah.
World War II. It's about a Belarusian boy who he's thrust into the atrocities of the war, Brian. He follows around a hopelessly unequipped Soviet resistance movement through German forces, and this is the one that I told you about where like halfway through the movie, not even halfway through, there's a bomb that goes off, very realistic, and knocks out his hearing, and then for much of the rest of the movie you only have part of the audio coming through, like you're seeing everything through his point of view.
Is this subtitle?
Yeah.
Oh, subtitle. I can see why you would want to see it again.
Very, very depressing, yet really, really well done. Let me tell you what the languages are: Belarusian,
okay,
Russian, and German.
Is there even a Belarus anymore?
Yes, there is.
Okay,
there wasn't for a long time because Russia, the Soviet Union, made everything, and now.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah, broke up, and
I don't know if you heard about the Berlin Wall, but it came down.
What?
Yeah, Belarus.
Well, make a movie about that.
It won two awards, Brian. I'm going to tell you what they were right now. 1995, the Fipreski's Prize Award and Golden Prize. I don't know what those are. Assuming that they're
very impressive.
But
congratulations.
Both won for Best Director, the Alem Klimov. But I really, if you are into war movies, you do like foreign movies, you like movies that are well-made, well-crafted, and you like depressing movies, this is a movie for you. But Come and See, very, very disturbing movie. And it's very novel and unique in that it's a war movie shown through the eyes of a 10-year-old boy. I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it a lot. It's the kind of movie where if I saw it on my channel guide, I would – or if I was just flipping channels like I was an old man or something and I saw it on the screen, I would flip quick.
I should say, by the way, probably the same for all your top five movies. All of these should be seen by everyone once. They're good movies. I just can't sit through them again. Because at least if you see him once, there's a level of surprise to everything that happens. It's all new.
Right. It's a really good movie. Of my five movies, though, this is the one that I don't know if everyone could enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah. I maybe should have not put this
World
on
War II, you said?
I almost put Das Boot, but then I'm like, no, I would watch
number
that
three for
movie
me,
again.
Das Boot!
No, really? I almost put it!
Number three.
No way you can watch that again
number
and again.
Number three,
it's
Das Boot. 209 minutes of torture.
Was it really?
Oh, my God.
209? You saw the short version?
I saw the director's cut. Holy
That's
crap.
That's the short version.
1981, directed by Wolfgang Petersen.
Better.
Starring Jürgen Prochnow.
Jürgen's
who you
my
might
man.
Who you might know. I saw recently in The Seventh Sign, starring Bean. Well, co-starring Bean. Yeah, the only bad parts, it was a good movie. Cannot see 209 minutes of Das Boot again. The bad parts I did not like the B-roll of the explosions. Every time they cut outside, everything inside the submarine was fantastic.
Budgets.
Everything outside was awful.
Budget.
Everything outside was terrible. And there were only a few cutaway shots, but it took you out of it. Really
das
took
Boot.
You out of it. The production took 2 years, Anderson. Robert Redford and afterwards Paul Newman were actually slated to play the lead role, and the film was originally offered to American directors. The 150-minute version, the short version, if you will, just 2.5 hours, was nominated for 6 Oscars, including Best Director for Wolfgang Petersen. 6 Oscar nominations.
This was actually a miniseries.
Yes, it was intended to be a miniseries.
And it was kind of shot as a miniseries. And then they're like, let's make it a movie.
Yep.
And they cut out a lot of stuff. But the original 5-hour version of the entire miniseries is available all continuously.
209 minutes.
It's good. It's very good.
That's closer to 4 hours than it is 3.
It says on IMDb that it's available on Crackle. If you have a Roku, you can watch Crackle.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I like giving out the alternative sort of streaming sources. Not everyone has Netflix. Not everyone wants to pay the $8 or whatever it is a month. And you want to pay either a la carte or you maybe you have the Amazon Prime thing or whatever. There's other sources out there for you. So Das Boot, 1981, good film. can't ever sit through this fucking
thing. I really wish I put this on my list now, but it wouldn't have been true because I've seen it like three times.
I can't believe you mentioned it. That's so goddamn bizarre.
Why have I seen this goddamn movie three times? Because it's great. It really is.
That's,
I mean, you feel
12
like
hours
in that goddamn
of your life, Anderson.
Submarine.
That's 12 hours.
And that's
of your
back
life.
When Wolfgang was a really good director and really fucking gave it his all and like sacrificed the well-being of
his
crew
good.
And cast.
Well, I like Wolfgang Peterson's movies.
Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm was Perfect Storm. Perfect Storm was pretty good. It was nowhere near In the Line of Fire or what the fuck, Air Force One.
No, I'm good.
In the Line of Fire is great. In the Line of Fire
Air Force One. Please, really? That's what you're
– No.
Das Boot.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun to say. It really is.
The Boat.
1981.
The Boat.
Das Boot.
Das Boot.
Hold on. Let me see.
All the ending was so fucking German. It was so German.
It was very German.
It was so
German. I got to be honest with you. That was a German ending.
Yes.
Wolfgang.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Troy. Brian, you're going to
– I like Troy.
You like Troy.
Not a great movie, but I like it. It's guilty pleasure.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Oh, Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Oh, Brad.
Buff Brad Pitt.
So sexy.
Some steroid up Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Enemy Mine.
Never saw Enemy Mine.
What?
Yeah.
Homework. You must watch Enemy Mine. What's wrong
oh
with you?
Oh, my God.
How did you not see Enemy Mine?
What noise did you just make?
I was trying to do the robot. I mean, the alien. You got to see.
No.
Enemy Mine, huh? Brian. All right. We're gonna watch it together.
Oh, my God.
Before we come back, right? We're going to blow Damashek's socks off with our knowledge of Enemy Mine. We should be the podcast that just knows more about Enemy Mine.
Logan, is that streaming? I will watch it if it's streaming.
Lou Gossett Jr.
I'm checking for you.
Anderson.
Jeroba Jerry Shingon.
You're saying the alien looks like Lou Gossett Jr. So he's dark?
He is Lou Gossett.
Oh!
All right. My number.
Das Boot.
Das Boot. God, I wish I put it on. My number two. All right, so far, The Game. Come and See Winter's Bone.
I thought you were doing The Game again.
This one, Brian, you're going to be pissed because you're going to say, it is streaming.
Okay.
Enemy Mine streaming?
It is streaming on Netflix.
Fuck yes. Brian, promise me you're going to watch it.
You just did a fist bump. It's like Kirk Gibson fist bump.
I always, whenever I do a fist bump, it's always Kirk Gibson style.
Pull it in.
Yeah, you got to pull it in.
Pull it in.
Wait, you're going to watch this and I'm going to watch it, all right? I don't know why I'm so giddy about this.
I'll do my best. Recording this episode in 2 fucking days.
Oh, that's true.
I'll do my best.
That'll be tough.
I will see it.
You know what else you should watch?
What's that?
Paradise Lost 3.
Is it already out?
It's out by the time this airs.
No shit.
Yeah, it's on HBO.
No, I didn't. Oh, yeah. Oh, no shit.
Premieres tomorrow.
I will see that.
Premieres tomorrow.
I hadn't heard anything
Very
about
excited.
It.
Okay,
well, if I know HBO, they'll rerun it once or twice.
This is as perfect to a movie as I can say. Really good movie. Glad I saw it. Glad it exists. Enjoyed it. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. But I never want to see it again.
Okay.
No need to see it again.
You're right.
Came out last year.
Mm?
2 years ago. It was up for all sorts of awards, including
X-Men First Class.
Yes. How'd you know? It's not true at all. Hold on. My stupid computer.
Whole bunch of awards.
Whole bunch.
Came out two years ago.
Man named Darren Aronofsky made it.
Oh my God. That was my list.
Should have been on your list.
That's right.
Black fucking Swan.
What's there at the top?
I'm sorry.
Third movie down. Black Swan.
The Incredibles. I totally disagree. Why would you write The Incredibles?
Bitch. Yes, Black Swan. God, this is...
A masterful film. Very good movie.
We almost had three crossovers at this point, and we're not done.
I thought about it. I don't want to see this movie in its entirety. I will have no problem with watching the scene in the middle again.
Cannot
again,
agree with you
and
more.
Again.
Cannot agree with
but
you.
But I don't need to see the fingernails popping.
Cannot agree with you more.
I don't need to see the long dramatic scenes. Everything about this movie was well done. There's just no goddamn comedy. There's not even a snicker.
Yes.
Not a single smile.
Heavy shit.
But really, it's probably as close to a stressed out ballerina I will ever be. Is while I sat in that theater for the 108 minutes that it took. But
by the way, relatively short 108 minutes felt like it was 308.
Mila looked great.
Yeah, Mila Kunis looked fantastic.
Natalie looked good, even though she had a body double that they didn't give credit to.
Mm.
Yeah, apparently.
No.
And Vincent Cassel, I love him. One of my favorite. Yeah, I'll say he's my favorite French actor.
I'm going to call him Vincent Cassel.
I like him more than Depardieu.
Gerard Depardieu?
Cassel.
What about Jean Reno?
Barbara Hershey was creepy. Winona Ryder was perfect. It was a great movie all through and through.
What about Gene Reno?
Gene Reno actually is right up there.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Goddamn, The Professional's good. I think it might be streaming. Check out The Professional. Holy fuck. You've seen that, right, Luke?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
He said, go back inside. We need to do best, funniest lines and come in, bring in the clips because that would be on my top five. Gary Oldman telling the old lady to go back inside and shoot out the window.
Someone suggested top five monologues.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
It would be
fuck that.
It would be Conan. And then I got to say, I like Letterman's a lot. Don't like the Big Chin guy, though. I don't like his monologue.
Leno.
Yeah, don't like his stuff.
It's good. Keep going with this.
Black Swan, number two.
Make your joke. There were two for me.
I'm so excited about talking about Enemy Mine.
I feel fairly confident that I will not. I can give away the ending, and it will not be a spoiler. You know what? I'm gonna go ahead and give away the ending of this one.
No, don't do that.
No,
please don't do that.
I'm gonna give it away. I'm not even gonna
is
bother.
Is it Sixth Sense?
In 1993. I'm serious. From 2006. I cannot see United 93 ever again. It's so fucking heavy. It's so emotionally devastating. I cannot see this movie again.
Don't give away the ending.
You think I should keep it secret? Okay.
This is horribly, horribly inappropriate.
If you haven't seen it, you know
there's
what?
Good inappropriate and there's bad inappropriate. This is bad inappropriate. I object to this.
Do you?
This is incredibly loud and uncomfortably close for me.
Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. United 93, 2006. Directed by Paul Greengrass, who was nominated for Best Director. I can't see this fucking movie again. I saw it in the theater. It shook me.
Is this the movie with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Oh, God. That's offensive. That's offensive.
Is this one where Leslie Nielsen is pulling eggs out of a woman's mouth?
I wish. Yeah. No, United 93... Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, everyone knows the story. Everyone, blah, blah, blah. You've probably seen the movie. Cannot see it again. Too heavy. Ranked number one, Anderson, on 47 year-end lists, best of lists. It was actually the most number one named movie of the year. The like, first – yeah?
Much like Black Swan, that's the closest I'm ever going to be a stressed out, skinny ballerina. Mm-hmm. With United 93, that's the closest I'm ever going to be on a plane, hopefully – that's taken over by terrorists.
Yes.
Because you feel like you're sitting in fucking row six, seat B.
Absolutely. That movie. And it's a cast of unknowns, so there's
you
no
see the
like –
theater?
Yeah.
Uncomfortable
yes.
When it ends, right? When it ends and like you're getting up and walking out. Because I remember I saw it in a fairly crowded theater.
Right.
And no one wanted to make eye contact. No one wanted to talk. Everyone just heads down, walking out. It was just uncomfortable.
I remember seeing it out of like a sense of duty. You know what I mean? Like I didn't go in thinking like, oh, I'm going to enjoy this. Like I remember thinking like, this is going to be a good movie that I feel obligated to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, and it was good, and I'm glad I saw it. I do not ever want to see it again.
Yeah. That should have been my number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no.
No. Too
you know
much
why?
Crossover.
Because Mystic River's way better. Holy shit, is that my daughter in there? Is that my daughter in there? Are you kidding me?
It's right here underneath Black Swan. There's literally written right here underneath Black Swan. This is fantastic. We have so many the same movies.
8.0, 2003, Mystic River, Clint Eastwood at his darkest. It's all about Sean Penn wandering around screaming about his daughter.
I could not agree with you more. Tim Robbins is like a mental case.
That was actually a little bit of a bright spot. I thought that he was kind of funny. There was some funniness in Tim Robbins' character.
I was watching a movie about vampires. I'm like one of them vampires.
I don't know. I think they were Asian. Remember that from Cable Guy?
No, I don't remember.
Every time it showed on Cable Guy, every time it showed Ben...
Stiller?
Ben Stiller on the TV because he was like, I'm supposed to be one of Menendez brothers. And he was his defense. Every time it showed him in the background doing his defense, he was just going, I don't know. I think they were Asian.
I don't remember that at all.
It's the best part of a good movie called Cable Guy.
I watched Cable Guy 5 times before I saw any one of these movies.
I will never see Cable Guy again. My number one. No, Mystic River, 2003. A very, very harsh, depressing, well acted. You know, these actors threw their heart on the line for Clint, gave him anything he wanted. And I don't really – that's not what movies are for me. I like dramatic movies. I like heavy movies, but I need to have that wild card. I need to have a funny – something I can quote, something I can go back and want to see a character again. And this, much like Inception, had nothing. Nothing for me to enjoy or feel good. And it's like, why do I want to be in those shoes?
You know, I was watching Inception and I thought what you said, and there are a couple of light moments.
Like where
I know the kiss.
Gordon-Levitt tries to kiss.
Yes, that was funny.
That was
and there was also
funny.
A funny moment where they were trying to devise their plan to get inside of Cillian Murphy's head, and they were like, well, he's going to be flying from Sydney to Los Angeles on the flight.
Sexy.
We're going to have to buy off the entire first class. And Ken Watanabe walks up and says, I bought the entire airline. I just thought it was easier that way. It's kind of funny.
Forgot about that part.
Wasn't really going for that level of laughter.
That wasn't funny
anyway,
at all. Not even a little, dude.
Well,
I bought the entire – I'm rich. I don't even remember – I'm sorry. I'm not going to go off on an Inception fucking rant, but I don't even remember what the objective was. During the movie, I didn't realize.
Mystic River.
I said enough.
It's
a childhood tragedy that overshadows the lives of three men.
Laura
and
Linney's
they're reunited by a circumstance when one loses his daughter.
Laura Linney's in it.
Tim Robbins, Kevin Bacon, Lawrence Fishburne.
I forgot about Kevin Bacon. he's the cop, right?
Yeah, cop. And never once are you watching this movie saying this is a piece of shit. Many times you're watching the movie thinking, why am I putting myself through this torture? It's just you feel what
bleak
it feels
ending
like
too. I would put this in my top five bleak endings.
To lose like a loved one or a daughter or a family member and just feel that sorrow and that pain, much like 21 Grams. I don't want to live.
Oh God, I agree. Well, that was like within 2 years of each other, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were
Rams
like,
in this.
There was this the period in Hollywood, like right around that time where
and Sean Penn was like the eye of that storm.
He was. He was the one bringing it on. We need to really talk. Enemy Mine has a 6.6 on IMDb.
Guys, we got to stop making so many happy movies. We got to make more movies about pain. I would like to star in all these movies.
Have you seen the movies like he's directed, like The Crossing Guard?
Yes.
What the fuck?
No. Which is the one, the Pledge?
Hey, Sean, settle down. The Pledge with
Nicholson?
Nicholson, yeah.
That was fucking tough.
It was painful.
What was the one with where Benicio del Toro was a mental patient who like killed himself early in the movie?
No, I think I gave up on Sean Penn. I don't know if I saw that one.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, come on.
It may have been The Pledge.
Okay.
Anyway.
Go ahead. Make your joke.
Oh, fuck a duck.
That one part where
I'm actually spent talking about
the airline.
These fucking movies.
That was funny.
I'm trying. I bought the whole airline. That's my impression. Is that racist?
No, not at all.
My number one movie. Oh, Anderson. All. From 1995, mm-hmm. Nominated for Best Director, Best Actress, winner of Best Actor for Nicolas Cage. I can never see Leaving Las Vegas again. Too fucking heavy. Too much heartbreak. Too much devastation. Horrible things happen to people. The movie's all about sadness. It starts off. The premise of the film is explained quite quickly. This down and out screenwriter. So I think he's gone through a divorce. He's lost his wife or something. I don't fucking remember. But he's decided to move to Las Vegas, sell everything he owns, set it on fire. And he's going to drink himself to death.
Mm-hmm.
That's the plot of the film. Mm-hmm. He finds himself a hooker. They fall in love, sort of. Elizabeth Shue. Horrible things happen to her. She gets gang raped by a bunch of frat guys.
That's true.
And spoiler alert. And he drinks himself to death.
Brian, what are you doing?
I just fucking saved so many people so much heartache.
But the point, it's your number one. The point is it's a good movie you should see. I thought that was the point.
Wikipedia describes it as, Wikipedia describes it as a romantic drama.
It is. It was romantic.
I guess it is sort of a romantic drama.
Nicolas Cage proved that he can actually pull it together and be a decent actor.
Nicolas Cage called his character, quote, crumbled elegance. Elizabeth Shue said her character, quote, clings to hope in the midst of depression or desperation.
I saw a screening of this movie in Hollywood. I had no idea that it was like such a special screening because this is the one where Nicolas Cage was actually there with Michael Figgis, the director. And look at me when I talk.
Yeah, Figgis. Michael Figgis. Sorry.
Patricia Arquette was
there. Oh, by the way, Paul Greengrass, director of
1993. Excuse my language. I'm sorry. I just said cunt. I didn't mean to say cunt. I'm sorry. God damn it, Mrs. Bishop. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Michael Figgis.
Yes, Michael Figgis was there. And it was
Figgis.
A Q&A.
Yep.
After the movie. And I just asked Cage some things about other movies because I wasn't a huge fan of the one that I'd just seen. Because you're right. It was very depressing. Well-made movie.
The ending was so goddamn bittersweet.
A little bit too many accolades for my taste. So I consider it more overrated as much as it was a movie that I didn't want to see again. You know what I mean? It was more overrated than anything else. But Jim Carrey was also in the audience. A very small little screening. I saw it at the Sunset 5. It's at the Lemley.
Yeah, the
Lemley. There's like 80 seats and it was filled with all those people. It was really strange.
How about that?
I just wanted to see the movie. I had no idea Nick Cage was going to be in the audience. No idea.
There he was.
You know what the last question was? So they're like, all right, one more question. Some asshole. It wasn't me. Some asshole was like, they're like, all right, last question. What is it? And he's like, what's your favorite color? Cage is like, blue. And he just like drops the mic and walks away. He didn't really drop the mic, but he did just walk.
Like a rapper.
Stage right.
Like it was a rap battle.
One more question. What's your favorite color? Blue, out.
Do you know how he researched his role? He researched his role by
drinking.
Binge drinking in Dublin for 2 weeks. He had a friend video, maybe Jim Carrey, a friend videotaped him.
I want to see that video.
So he could study his own slurred speech.
Did you mean a slur? Slur?
Because
you slurred it.
It's the chemo.
United 93.
The mouse is dead.
The mouse is dry.
The mouse died.
Okay. Also, Rans, before we go on to listen.
Oh, there's so many.
21 Grams was
already mentioned. Do you want to save their also Rans for another list? Because
no,
I can make three
like
more
this,
lists out
really?
Of this. Down the road.
Do you want to?
No.
No.
I don't want to think about
Dirty
these
Pretty
anymore.
Things, Brian.
The Passion of the Christ.
Oh, my God. You're right. Sixth Sense.
Frozen River.
Yeah, it's right up there with Mystic River.
Yeah. Anything of River.
The Brave. That's a movie about Johnny Depp actually directed it. It's the only movie he directed, as far as I can tell. And it's about a man who, he's an Indian, Native American, Brian. He lives on a trash heap. And he's going to do a snuff. He's going to do a snuff film.
Oscar the Grouch.
He's offered like $20,000 or $50,000 or something to do a snuff film.
Great.
That he wants to give to his kids so that they have something to live on, because they live in a trash heap. The only way he can make money is to do a sex film where he's killed a teen. If you want to see that, it's called The Brain.
I feel like that's racist.
It's a real movie.
Couldn't they call it The Redskin?
It's not good. I don't want to see it again. The Brave.
The Brave.
Yeah. All right. Okay, go ahead. Tetro?
No. I didn't write it down, but fucking Youth Without Youth.
No.
Actually, a bad movie.
Animal Kingdom?
I got that on my queue.
Enjoy watching it once.
Wait, what's the one with what's the one with the prison movie with Tom Arnold?
Oh, Animal Factory.
Oh,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, enjoy that one. That one's great.
I can't see Milk.
Why not?
I can't see my left foot.
Oh, again.
Not again.
You're saying again.
Not again.
Okay.
No, good. Not again.
I can't see Fish Tank, The Assassination of Jesse James. Can't see it again.
King's Speech.
Oh, I can see that again.
More of boredom.
Shame. Came out this year. Can't see it again.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh, can't see it once.
Avatar.
Yeah. Oh, I can see that again.
Really?
I like the animal sex part. They take the little thing to connect it.
Oh, Million Dollar Baby. I can totally watch that again.
Because the characters are so bad, it's fun.
That's a good point. Yeah. Awful lot of Clint Eastwood films I consider for this list.
Yeah, Changeling.
All right, I got to hear Listener Top 5.
This week's Listener Top 5. Great. We had 5 solid picks, no ties, which is very rare.
I never heard of that one.
Tweet your suggestions in the future to @TheFilmVault or at our Facebook page, The Film Vault.
Please do. And so number 5, Saving Private Ryan.
What? I could see that again.
I could see a new one.
I'm surprised that more older movies didn't come up on your guys' list.
Casablanca is right here on my list.
Yeah, like Casablanca, I've seen it once. I don't ever want to see it again.
Yeah, that should have really been on there. But
yeah,
I didn't want to see it to begin with, actually.
Well, this isn't Kane.
Because I've seen it like 7 or 8 times.
Okay. I was saying. Sorry, look.
All right. Number 4. Irreversible.
What? I've seen that like 7 times.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
I'm watching it right now.
You know what's sad is we're getting close to a point where I'm not going to even be able to say that's a disturbing movie with some of the shit that I've been seeing lately.
Yep.
With heads being bashed.
Too much head bashing.
People be like, yeah, so what? His head got bashed. I see that in like every other movie. It was on Sesame Street the other day.
For me, what's keeping me from watching it is
B is for bashing.
I don't handle rape in movies too well.
B is for okay, you don't handle rape too well?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, pussy?
I think rape in movies disturbs me more than anything else.
You seen Leaving Las Vegas?
I haven't.
See The Accused?
I really want to see the new Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, but I can't.
There's some decent rape in that. We need a there's Mr. Skin, like he knows every single like time code for every single naked.
Yeah,
dude. We need a guy like that, but for rape.
Mr. Sin,
that would
Mr.
be great.
Sin.
That would allow me to see a lot of movies that I want to see.
And you can just skip through that.
Yep. Yeah,
you just like, oh, that's a great rape scene.
All right, number 3, Dear Zachary.
No.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, I didn't do documentaries because most documentaries, I don't need to see them.
Sure,
again,
I agree with that.
But
I almost didn't commute the truth.
That's a good one.
I almost didn't commute the truth.
Number 2, Chris Gore's favorite movie, Schindler's List.
Ooh. Yeah, I saw that on lists. That's
This is guilty pleasure.
This is guilty.
I forgot about that.
It's a
that.
Really good movie, though. I've seen that a couple times. I like that.
You know what? I actually could go back and see that again because I saw it when it was in the theater. I was like 16.
It was really, really hardcore, really, really depressing, really, really gut-wrenching. But the performances and the characters were rich enough that I could – oh, God, I sound like a – but they really were.
I could go back and watch it one more time.
Yeah.
And
Ralph Fiennes' character was fucking awesome in that movie.
Number one, I do not agree with at all because it's one of my favorite movies, Groundhog and Day. I've seen it several times, Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, you know what? Because it's so intense. I can see how people would say that. However, I've seen it a lot of times.
I can see it one.
And it's so beautifully shot. Like I would watch it with the sound off just to look at some of the editing and the shots.
Sound like me now, but yeah, you're absolutely
hipster.
Right. Like it's a movie like I'd never seen before ever. It was like, holy shit, this guy is a fucking movie maker.
Oh, Thin Red Line. Forgot to mention that one.
Thin Red Line. I didn't want to see it the first time. Fuck that, Terrence Malick.
Speaking of Terrence, can't watch Hustle and Flow again.
What? Why not? You can't watch Hustle and Flow? It's so catchy. It's got such a great soundtrack. I saw the movie twice in the theaters.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
It's way hard.
It's way hard. I can listen to the soundtrack. Can't see the movie. The
movie was great. I don't know what's wrong with you.
Sorry, Ray.
Why? Because you hate black people?
That's mostly it, yeah. Cut that out!
The Brave.
We've done worse to them.
The Brave.
I checked. It's not available on Netflix.
Were they trying to make a statement about the plight of the American Indian?
Trying. They were, Brian. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, that's pretty ham-handed.
Ham-handed.
Thank you, by the way, to Glorious Fold from Tempe, Arizona. Check them out on our website, AndersonandBrian.com. You'll find a link to their stuff. AndersonandBrian.com for all of your film vault needs. Miss Movies Minute. Miss Movies has a podcast, and she put it on iTunes, and it's new and noteworthy. So check it out. iTunes has deemed it new and or noteworthy. So check it out. Miss Movies Minute on iTunes now. And Sniff Trek still available on the website, AndersonandBrian.com. Just $1.99. Oh, God, there it is, The Brave. I don't know about that. I can't watch that film.
Hey, down on his luck, American Indian, recently released from jail, is offered the chance to star as the victim of a snuff.
Offered the chance. Hey, you!
Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando's also in it.
I don't doubt that for a second. AudiblePodcast.com/TFV. Check him out. Thank you very much for sponsoring. All of our sponsors can be found at AndersonandBrian.com. And I think that's it, Anderson. Next week, Damage Shack. Until then, who are we doing it for?
We're doing it for Van Gogh!
Get off the bus and jump on the train. This trip has been nothing fine.